You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Both Amber and Ian out tonight, but have no fear. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Teron Davenport. And folks, we have proof of life. They are alive in Frisco, Texas. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. Teron, of course, ESPN NFL Nation Tennessee Titans reporter. And we go to the hotline where Todd Archer finally has some news to talk about. He covers the Cowboys for ESPN NFL Nation. And he joins us now because, Todd, we have a signing. That's right. Big news in Big D as Eric Kendricks has changed his mind. He goes not to San Francisco, but to Dallas, where he will rejoin with Mike Zimmer. Todd, what the hell took so long for the Cowboys to do something?
What are you talking about? It's the first day of free agency, isn't it? They're only hours into this thing, right? What am I missing?
Are they not aware of the legal tampering period in Dallas? Did they not know about the rules?
Yeah, no. Like, this is what they've done for a long time, and they don't play in the big, the deep end of the free agent pool. Despite what everybody thinks about Jerry Jones being wanting to be the NFL's George Steinbrenner and just spending cash over cash over cash, that's not what the Cowboys haven't done. The last time the Cowboys did that was 2012 when they signed Brandon Carr to a 5-year, $50 million deal. They've not. This has kind of been their MO. I think this year what's a little different is the anger involved with everything regarding this team because of how their season ended to Green Bay in the wild card round, and you just added on everybody else in the division, adding players, Saquon going to the Eagles and the Giants getting Brian Burns and Washington signing every former Cowboy that they can get to go with Dan Quinn. I just think it was adding up to the anger. And look, this is almost like a old school college recruitment flip, right? Where like the guy pulls out the different hat and you're like, whoa, what happened? But yeah, Mike Zimmer got his guy, and he fills a big need for them.
Speaking of pulling out different hats, Tony Pollard, he put on a Titans hat as opposed to Cowboys. What is this team going to do at running back? I mean, what's left? What are options of free agency, the draft? What have you heard?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised you're able to do this show, Trunks. Your team's doing everything. So how?
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
trust me, it's been tough.
Man.
Todd, he's writing articles for .com in commercial breaks is what he's doing.
So what the Cowboys are going to do? There's still a couple of guys in free agency that they can add. I was told today that they don't, however, have an interest in A.J. Dillon. Maybe it gets down so low that would be a guy that they look for, but in some respects, you maybe would bring back Zeke Elliott before you'd add a guy like A.J. Dillon. But they want to have a big back, a bigger back with a speedier back. And kind of what they had with Pollard and Zeke for a couple of years, just not at those contract numbers that they had. Certainly Zeke at $15 million a year and Pollard last year on the franchise tag. So if I had to put it in pencil right now who the Cowboys are taking – in the second round, it's going to be Jonathan Brooks from Texas because he fills so many needs, and he's a guy coming off a knee injury, and we've seen the Cowboys, specifically Jerry Jones, go after first-round talents in the second round coming off injuries. And I'll point out that the Cowboys surgeon, Dr. Cooper, did Brooks' surgery, and the Cowboys will know more about that knee than any other team. So
interesting.
You'll see them play in the draft, I think, and get their – and get a running back and probably use the low end of free agency to add another one. Maybe even keep Rico Dowdle as a guy who was the number two back last year.
I mean, listen, this is a good way to deal with that position, I feel like, in the NFL in 2024. Todd Archer covers the Cowboys for ESPN NFL Nation. Todd, who do you think is going to be in Dallas longer, Mike McCarthy or Dak Prescott?
I'll say Dak because I can see him signing an extension sometime before training camp. I can't say that happening for Mike McCarthy. So, but look, I mean, I asked Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones both at the combine if they start to fear of a life without Dak, because let's be honest, he holds all the cards here. They can't put the franchise tag on him next year. He can only be traded to spots that he would want to go to. Clearly, they're not going to trade him now, I don't think. And you look at the numbers that are being tossed around for quarterbacks, you know, he's going to get a raise, and if the Cowboys want to keep him. And there's, you know, it's hard to make a case against not keeping him other than he's been their starter for 8 years and he's not gotten past the divisional round. Show me all the guys that have done it for the first time when they've been that team's starting quarterback. And there's not very many guys. So, but I think they will get something done with Dak Prescott. But if it doesn't happen before they get to Oxnard for the start of training camp, if you're Dak Prescott, you're almost better off waiting and then becoming a 31-year-old free agent on the market, and everybody, you can name your price wherever you want to go.
Yeah, there have been so many people to compare him to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah, same type
the
Kirk situation.
Cousins game plan. I'm sorry, TD, go ahead.
No, you're good. We shared a brain there. You talk about Dak, but what about CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons? Are these guys that you could see deals, especially CeeDee Lamb, right? You look at Justin Jefferson at some point coming up. You look at Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. There's so many receivers that are going to reset that market. Look at what Calvin Ridley just got. Do you see CeeDee Lamb getting something along those lines done?
I don't know why they aren't more involved with getting a deal done now, because it's not like the price is going to go down on any of these deals. And look, it's a little bit – I get frustrated with the notion that the Cowboys waited too long to sign Dak, because they did try and sign him. Dak waited. Dak played it perfectly. The Cowboys thought they had a deal done. Oh man, now it's so long. 2019, I think, where they thought they were going to have the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff deal with Dak. Mm. Somewhere in that neighborhood is what they thought they were going to have. And Dak said, wait a minute, or Todd French said, wait a minute, let's wait. They played the franchise tag deal, and then they got everything they want, getting $40 million a year. So it's a little bit along the same lines. If you're CeeDee Lamb, are you better off waiting and seeing what happens and waiting for Justin Jefferson to come in? It just seems like he and Jefferson are kind of waiting for the other guy to go, and then the other guy can make a case to get more. But I think of the three, the CeeDee one should be the one where they can get that done. And it might cost you more than you want, but that's the price of doing business. The Micah Parsons, they've got him under contract through 2025, so there's really no real rush on that one necessarily for this offseason. It'll be nice, but I don't think that'll happen. I think it's Dak and CD will be one and two in their offerings, and then if they get lucky and get both done, maybe they would go to Micah, but it would surprise me if Micah's contract would be addressed this offseason.
Todd, appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's right, Todd Archer, ESPN Cowboys reporter, with the latest there. Dallas finally making a move, but it sounds like, you know, their own guys, what they're going to do with Prescott and how they're going to handle that situation is the most interesting storyline in addition to the draft of the Dallas offseason. Quick couple updates from college basketball. Right now, Kansas State leads Texas in the Big 12 tournament, 74-71. Kansas State staying alive for a potential NCAA tournament bid. This is not a good showing by Texas, but I think they're probably in, TD, regardless of the outcome of this game and how it goes. And in the Patriot League, right now, just really a formality, because they've been dominating this game the entire way, and it has now gone final as Colgate is your Patriot League champion, 74-55. They are not only in the bracket, in the field, but look out for the Patriot League champs. We've seen Lehigh win NCAA tournament mm-hmm. games. I think Colgate has an NCAA tournament win maybe in their history. Bucknell, I'm trying to think. Other
Bucknell,
Patriot League teams.
How about it? Hey, yep. Can you name me an NBA player out of Colgate?
I can.
Adonald Foyle, baby.
Adonald Foyle.
Number 8 overall to Golden State. What was that, like 96 or 97, something like that?
I just remember our guy John Feinstein wrote a book about a season in the Patriot League called The Last Amateurs, because it was like college basketball had become big business everywhere except for in Lehigh, you know, these schools,
yeah,
you know, sort of in the Appalachian area where the Patriot League schools mostly are in New York and Pennsylvania. And so that's how I know. That's how I remember it. Donald Foyle went to Colgate. And so there you go. As these conference tournaments really – now, most of the big-time schools are going to get underway tomorrow. Just looking overall at what Joe Lunardi has right now, last team in the tournament is Indiana State, okay? And I'd like to see them get in. First team out is Texas A&M. But I know how this committee works often, TD. If you come from a big conference and you have sort of a more robust resume – I think Indiana State's fighting a bit of an uphill battle here to try to make a case to get into the NCAA tournament after they lost the MVC championship game to Drake over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I like about this time, because there's so much attention being put on schools that you normally don't even think about. Like, who thinks about Colgate? Who thinks about McNeese and these types of schools? So I like this time of the year,
yep.
But – you know what typically happens once March Madness starts, right?
Yep.
The true March Madness. They get they fall by the wayside unless it's, you know, one of those super Cinderella stories, which you always have maybe one or so. So
yeah. Up next, a college football legend is starting to sound like an old man yelling at a cloud. We explain. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Teron Davenport, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Very proud to have Nick Saban as a teammate of ours here at ESPN, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he says. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We've given away a couple bids to the NCAA tournament already tonight, as McNeese is in, as they win their conference championship. Colgate is the winner in the Patriot League, and so they go to the NCAA tournament as well. McNeese winning the Southland Conference Tournament Championship over Nichols. Both of those games are blowouts, and Kansas State beats Texas 78-74. They were part of the next four out, according to Joe Lunardi. So, Teron, there's a chance that now Kansas State, if they can continue this run in the Big 12 tournament, could move their way back towards the bubble. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Teron Davenport. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Nick Saban is a seven-time national champion. But I thought in this soundbite here, talking about what's going on in college football, he sounded a little bit like someone who's out of touch with what's actually happening in reality in society. Take a listen.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired, and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert that we really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people. As I said before, name, image, and likeness is a great opportunity for them to create a brand for themselves. I'm not against that at all. But to come up with some kind of a system that still can help the development of young people, I think, is paramount to the future of college athletics.
See, I think that really athletes in college today are trying to do both. Grow and develop and maybe get to the pros and also make some money while they're at it. I mean, Nick Saban, Teron has made $150 million in his career. Like, it's this is America. This is America.
And this is the thing, and I'm glad you said that, because I understand the dedication to developing players and those types of things. But how are you developing a player when you're a coach at Colorado State, right? And Colorado State becomes a good team, and LSU comes calling, hey, you know, we like what you did there at Colorado State. We want you to come be our head coach. And you leave Colorado State, and the kids whose living room you sat in and told their parents, you send your son to me, I'm going to make sure over the next 4 years, he's not only going to develop as a man, but not only as a football player, but as a man. And then you leave and abandon that. How is that supporting development? I feel this way.
Yeah,
Hammer. It's no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And that's what's happening right now. The players, they have the leverage. The athletes have the leverage.
Yeah.
And these coaches don't like it.
And it's changing the game, but I don't know that at its core. Like, when you watch college football on a Saturday, I'm not like, man, this game's ruined because these kids are getting NIL deals. Get the hell out of here. I was watching two great semifinals in the college football playoff this year, both of which came down like to the last play. My heart was about to fall out of my chest. Ohio State, Michigan, like those rivalries in those games, the changing of the conferences and all that is sort of ruining some of these rivalries.
Amen. You know, amen.
And again, that's the administrators and the executives, and those people wanted to make sure that they get paid. The fact that the players have a little bit of a slice of money, well, like, welcome to America.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going to do? Listen, I love being at ESPN Radio, and I love being at ESPN Cleveland, Teron. I have a number, okay? If you're another network and you come to me with that number, I'm going to go. Teron, I don't mean to speak for you.
You're going to MC Hammer your way up out of here, huh?
Look. This is capitalism, man. I got my family. I got two kids I'm going to try to put through college here at some point in life. Like, you got to honor the contracts that you've signed and all that. But also, you know where most people go to work? Whoever's going to pay them the most. Mm-hmm. You know, is that a factor in the career decisions that just about everybody listening to this show right now makes? Absolutely. So I don't have a problem with it. I think that when Saban does this and talks about some glory days of college football, I don't know. Maybe I'm just younger and more cynical, and the players were always getting paid, Nick, especially when you were.
Right, that too. Hey, listen, talk about it, you know. But it was just a little more regulated because you could regulate how much money, you know, the boosters and stuff would give them. Like, they had control of that somewhat. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is nothing new. It's a situation now, though, where, again, the players, they have leverage, and it's not something that they're able to, you know, really take a stronghold and control of and be that dictator that they previously were.
My prediction is that there's going to be more parity in college football, which I actually think is going to be really good for the sport.
Yeah.
12-team playoff, more teams with more access to more money to be able to get players to go. You're not going to be stuck sitting behind. And I'm for that, too. I think it's good for the product on television, and I think it's healthy for the kids who they want to get paid NIL, and they want to play so that they can move on to be at the next level, whether that's at Bama or they decide to go play somewhere else in the SEC or another conference.
Right, and let me be clear. I'm not against a coach moving on to a bigger opportunity.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is it's just interesting how a coach is okay to do. Like, Jim Harbaugh, it's cool. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to go to the NFL. You want in Michigan, go to the league. It's okay for him to go on to a bigger and better opportunity, but why is that not okay for a kid who has not made millions of dollars before? Like, I think it's an equal rights opportunity for both to cash in on this big money-making machine that we know of as college sports.
I mean, this is what I'd say to Nick. Like, I get paid at my job, and I still want to grow and develop and learn, and I have a thirst to get better.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to only be on academic scholarship in order to, you don't have to be unpaid in order to want to improve and get to the next step. There are all kinds of other carrots you can put out there, like playing time, right? Who gets to be the starter? How does the depth chart shake out? Who earns opportunities? Going to the next level where there's even more money to be made. But this is big business, man. I mean, we know this at ESPN as much as we know it anywhere else, and you're in the heart of it in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to this 12-team playoff, college football is the second most popular sport in America, close behind the NFL. And the games do monster ratings, and if there are big-time players, whether it is Mac Jones or Jalen Hurts or Derrick Henry or Jerry Jeudy or anybody who's been a big-time player at Alabama, they deserve a bit of a piece of the pie. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, also college basketball in the home stretch. Tune in tomorrow. ACC Tournament quarters are presented by Robinhood. Coverage starts 11:30 Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Couple of updates around the world of college basketball earlier tonight. McNeese knocked off Nichols. They win the Southland Conference Tournament Championship 92-74. Lehigh goes down. Colgate wins the Patriot League 74-55. So Colgate, congratulations to them. They'll be in the bracket. Kansas State 78-74. They beat Texas in the Big 12. We think Texas is in the field regardless, but Kansas State is moving back towards the bubble. They were in the next four out coming into the day, according to ESPN bracketologist Joe Lenardi, and now they have moved themselves back up the list a little bit with the win over Texas and maybe one or two more wins in the Big 12 tournament. And Kansas State, who went on a run to the Elite Eight last year with Jerome Tang and Marquise Noel, they maybe could get themselves back towards the NCAA tournament. Up next, we get back to the NFL. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
All right, if you listen to the show, you know how this game is played. James Steele joins us now. We have to tell him whether what he says is a big deal or not a big deal. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Teron Davenport. We are in for Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive. And James, let's get big deal, not a big deal, underway.
All right, first up, the Philadelphia Eagles have denied impermissible contact between general manager Howie Roseman and running back Saquon Barkley during the negotiating window before the start of free agency. Barkley, a Penn State alum and Pennsylvania native, agreed to terms with the Eagles on a three-year, $37-plus million contract with $26 million fully guaranteed. His former coach at Penn State, James Franklin, suggested Roseman spoke to Barkley directly during the, quote, legal tampering period, which is not allowed, said Franklin. For him now to come back and be able to play within the state in Philadelphia, he said that was one of the first things that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch to him, was not only the Philadelphia Eagles and that, but obviously the connection with Penn State and that fan base as well. So Hammer, big deal, not a big deal, that James Franklin might have been a whistleblower here with some illegal tampering.
Look, there's something called the legal tampering period. Then there's something called the illegal tampering period, which actually starts at the combine when all the teams and agents actually meet with each other over a shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I mean,
delicious, by the way.
It is good. A lot of wasabi. It'll clear out your nasal passages. Anyway, tampering to me happens in all sports at all times, and it's never really that big of a deal. TD?
Yeah, I'm with you. It happens, and there's no real way to legislate it. I don't know how it could be regulated or anything like that. It's not a big deal to me, but, man, James Franklin, like, you got to know when to say when. Like, there are times to talk and times not to, and I don't see what adding that nugget to the statement, like, to – I don't see what that added other than a huge risk like this.
All right, sticking with the Eagles – this move, I think, was legal no matter what. Landon Dickerson, offensive guard for the Philadelphia Eagles, signed a 4-year contract extension with a base of $84 million and a maximum value of $87 million. He got $50 million guaranteed, $20 million signing bonus, but he was asked what he was going to do with all that money, and this is what he said.
I have a financial advisor for a reason. I don't know. I may go get a new lawnmower. Kind of some I've been looking into.
Riding?
Yeah, zero turn.
So, Teron, zero turn riding lawnmower for Landon Dickerson after that big deal. Big deal, not a big deal.
It's not a big deal, but, man, what happened to promoting John Deere, man? John Deere tractor, man, that's where it's at. He could have said that and got himself. Now, see, his financial advisor should have told him, hey, you say you're going to get a mower, and you say John Deere. John Deere is going to give you some more money, and now you can continue to be frugal with that money, too.
By the way, we'll take any potential lawnmower or tractor sponsor here with us on ESPN Radio. TD and I don't discriminate.
That's right.
If you'd like to come in and show us your mower. Now, the amazing thing here to me, and the reason I think this is a big deal, what percentage of NFL players do you think mow their own lawns, TD, in your experience?
Very few.
But my guess is most of these guys live on huge properties, and they don't mow their own grass. Now, I live in a very small house that has a tiny little yard, and I pay a fee, Teron, where someone comes and mows the grass, and then in the winter they clear the driveway, and it's the same. But to mow my grass takes all of 7 minutes. It's a very small amount of work for them, and it makes sense for me to just – but am I less of a man because I don't mow my own lawn?
No,
do you think less of me?
No, I don't think any less of you. You're my guy, man. We're you know, we're Magic and Larry, man. That's us, man.
can I be Magic? What's next? Big deal, not a big deal, James.
I don't know.
What do we got?
Teron didn't sound very, very convincing there when he said you were still his guy. I don't know about that. Between not mowing your own grass, not shoveling the snow, and those like $200 trash cans.
The guy signed how many $1 million, $20 million signing bonus, and he's mowing his own grass. I mean, I think that's pretty commendable.
Yeah,
he wants to come over to my house and mow my lawn also.
That's a long drive in a zero turn lawnmower from Philly to Cleveland, though. All right, same with the NFL. The Las Vegas Raiders released quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and former Pro Bowl slot receiver Hunter Renfrow on Wednesday, the first day of the NFL's new league year. The move saved the Raiders more than $19 million in salary cap space under the new front office of general manager Tom Telesco and coach Antonio Pierce. Garoppolo signed a 3-year, $72.75 million free agent contract in Las Vegas last March when Josh McDaniels was the coach and David Siegler was the GM.
Yeah.
Garoppolo was due $11 million on Sunday.
Yep.
And, you know, all
and
of that.
And Renfrow had a big year, you know, relatively recently, TD. To me, this is a big deal on Renfrow, and it's not a big deal on Jimmy G. I mean, God bless Jimmy G. Took a team to the Super Bowl. Was close to throwing a touchdown pass at the end of, you know, a big Super Bowl matchup.
Close to throwing a pick in the NFC Championship, too.
He was. But I just think he can't stay healthy. Like that's so to be a backup somewhere, I think he's still got a career, and he is one good-looking man. I am definitely – I respect
he looks like Christopher Reeves, man. That's he looks like Christopher Reeves.
He does. So in that sense, you know, it's too bad for the women of Las Vegas. But that's not a surprise to me at all and not a big deal. Teron?
It's a big deal to me because this is the latest NFL edition of Life Comes At You Fast. I mean, good gracious. Just March, she signed the deal, and now, you know, it's done. And it is a big deal to me. Hunter Renfrow signed a deal coming off a Pro Bowl season, and now he's out of a job. He'll be employed somewhere soon, but it's just – it lets you know, like, how NFL contracts work.
Let's go to Major League Baseball. New York Yankees ace Gerrit Cole has been shut down, and he visited a specialist in Los Angeles on Wednesday for further testing on his right elbow. Manager Aaron Boone said he has no timetable for how long Cole will be sidelined. Cole has already been ruled out for opening day and is expected to begin the season on the IL. Hammer, big deal, not a big deal, Gerrit Cole's elbow.
I mean, it's a big deal. The Yankees need Gerrit Cole. They need him to deliver at a high level. He's the reigning Cy Young Award winner, but they, on a team that finished, as I recall, TD, in last place. The Rays are a beast. The Orioles are a beast. I can't take the Red Sox very seriously, but Toronto is a pretty good team in that division. And I don't think the Yankees are going anywhere without their ace. Now, if he misses a couple of starts in April, fine, when it's 20 degrees outside. But by May 15th, they better have Gerrit Cole, and he better make 20 or 25 starts. Otherwise, I think the Yankees are going to be right back where they were last year. What do you think, TD?
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's so many millions that are invested in him. And as you said, the reigning Cy Young winner, I think from what I've seen, it's going to be 1 to 2 months that he could be out. And when you have that, and he went to see the surgeon because they didn't detect a tear, but it was enough to have him – be required to do an in-person visit. That, to me, says something. Like, when a doctor says, hey, you talk to him, you tell him your symptoms, and, you know, everything goes that way, and he says, hey, I want to see you in my office, I'm not feeling good about that. So, to me, that's a big deal.
Big deal, not a big deal. Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Teron Davenport. James with us. He gives us the topic. We decide whether it is a big deal or not a big deal. James.
The Kobe Bryant statue unveiled last month outside of Crypto.com Arena is already in need of a few adjustments. There are several errors in the etched marble base of the statue, including Jose Calderon and Von Wafer's names misspelled in the replica box score from Bryant's 81-point game between the Lakers and Raptors, and a formatting mistake on another side of the base where Bryant's career accomplishments are listed. Teron, big deal, not a big deal. Lots of mistakes on the Kobe Bryant statue.
Yeah, it's a big deal to me because it's not like this is something that was just written in pencil, right? It's etched in daggone stone. Like, come on, man. You got to do better than that. Like, where's the quality control?
Poor Von Wafer, man. I mean, well, how you do Von Wafer like that?
And was it Jose Calderon too, right? You know, like, come on, man.
Jose Calderon has had a good career. You're misspelling
man's name.
People's names. Listen, if you got an invitation, let me just give you a piece of advice, okay? Rehearsal dinner, wedding invitation in particular. You got to have 10 people proofread that puppy before you go to print, okay? If you're doing a statue, and literally, as you said so eloquently, TD, etching it in stone – you've got to have 100 people proofread it before you set to misspell a couple people's names on Kobe's statue. Man, somewhere Kobe's looking down at that statue and saying, that's not Mamba mentality right there. That's not. That's unacceptable, and it's not in the spirit of the great Kobe Bryant. Big deal, not a big deal. ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I think we got time for one more. James, go ahead.
Yep, one more. Yesterday, the WWE announced that SummerSlam will be held in Cleveland at the Cleveland Brown Stadium on August 3rd of this year. Cleveland is home to several WWE superstars, including Logan Paul, The Miz, and Johnny Gargano. And it marks the first time that SummerSlam will be held in Cleveland since August of 1996. Hammer, big deal, not a big deal. SummerSlam in Cleveland.
Well, for all the wrestling honks, this is a big deal. And I think they're going to sell out Cleveland Brown Stadium for this. Because, TD, this is a big wrestling town. Not a big deal to me. I know a couple of these guys, you know, because I'm such a big deal in the Cleveland sports media scene that I've had The Miz on the show a few times. But I'm not a big wrestling guy, so I don't know that I'm taking my family. But this was earth-shattering Cleveland sports news when it hit yesterday. So to that end, I'll say that this was a big deal to many people, even though it was not to me.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal because wrestling is it's a very entertaining, I don't want to call it sport, but entertaining. It's an art form. It's a draw.
Yeah.
It's a form of entertainment that people like. So I'm going to call it a big deal. And heck, I mean, I'm here in Nashville and this new stadium that they got coming in 2027. One of the big draws for them was like, hey, look, we're going to be able to host Final Four. We're going to be able to host Super Bowl. And what else? WrestleMania. Anything that's mentioned in the same sentence as those events,
yep,
is going to be a big deal for me.
So they're putting this outside in August at Cleveland Browns Stadium, but they have designs just like in Nashville, TD, of building a dome. So I wonder how much this is. See, we could do this for SummerSlam, but imagine we get a dome stadium. We might be able to host all the same things. I'm sure everybody's just dying to come to Cleveland for a Super Bowl in February. Get on the plane, everybody. Up next,
Minnesota, right?
Get you posted. Yeah, we were all at the Mall of America one time. Oof. We'll keep you posted on all the college basketball tournament action. Automatic tickets being punched to the tournament next. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just 4 days away from one of the most fun sports days of the entire year. Selection Sunday is coming. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Teron Davenport. You can check in with us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, TD, I thought we could just run through the big stories of the night so far in college basketball. There are a couple of teams that win automatic bids tonight. One of them is Colgate, who's legitimately good. Don't laugh. Write them down. Put them in your bracket. I have a feeling they might win a game in the tournament. They beat Lehigh 74-55. They win the Patriot League Championship. And then McNeese, TD, tell everybody McNeese's most famous alum, McNeese State.
Joe Dumars.
They beat Nicholls State 92-74, and somewhere, man, Joe Dumars is smiling. Are the Bad Boy Pistons, because they are the Southland Conference Tournament champions. I don't know the last time McNeese was in the NCAA tournament, but they are going to be on your bracket on Sunday as well. Now, Kansas State's trying to get back in the mix here. Teron, they were next four out, so they're one of the eight closest teams to the bubble between making and not making the NCAA tournament, and they got a big step today because they beat Texas, who's a tournament team, and it's a pretty high-quality win, 78-74 the score. Kansas State stays alive. If you're the committee and you're deciding between a team like Kansas State and a mid-major team, you know, I have a feeling Kansas State's going to kind of have the better resume, and that tends to be the way that the committee leans in situations like this.
Yeah, it tends to be the way that they lean, but I think you have to look at the mid-majors, and if they have, you know, some wins over a quality team, mm-hmm. and they have a really outstanding record, you got to really make a tough decision in that case. But typically, as you mentioned, they're going to lean towards the bigger school names.
First round of the Big East tournament is going on at Madison Square Garden, where Providence beat Georgetown 74-56. Providence needs multiple wins here in the Big East tournament in order to qualify for the field. So that's the first step for them. But Georgetown, obviously 9-23, 2-18 in conference. They've still got, I would say, a bit of a ways to go. Really important game for Villanova tonight as they are in action right now against DePaul, and they have a 19-12 lead. I think Villanova is also a team that needs, you know, a little bit of a run here in the Big East tournament in order to qualify for the NCAA field. St. John's is in the same boat as those teams at the bottom of the Big East try to battle their way into the NCAA tournament. And then in a big game in the Mountain West, New Mexico beats Air Force 82-56. So they move closer to the bubble. I don't know if you saw this, TD, but I guess the Mountain West is going to get as many as 6 or 7 teams into the NCAA tournament, and the ACC is only going to get 3. That's unbelievable.
Topsy-turvy, man. I saw Syracuse at Georgia Tech for Valentine's. I took my lady down to Atlanta, and part of the – I had to get my sports in. I'm sorry. Yeah. But part of the trip.
Nothing says romance like Georgia Tech, Syracuse.
Hey, but I made it up to her with a really nice dinner, though. You know what I mean? She's a sports fan, too, so it worked out. But, yeah, man, I got to see that. I thought that Syracuse team was pretty good. Georgia Tech ended up winning, but it's just like – you would think that more teams from the ACC, you know, knowing the caliber of team that, you know, is in that conference, you would think more would come, but that's not the case.
It's Duke, it's Carolina, it's Clemson, and I have a feeling that's going to be it come Selection Sunday. Tomorrow's a huge day of college basketball. Saturday is one of my favorite days of sports all year, and then so is Sunday. Now, are you a guy that fills out your bracket, TD, right when it comes out? 6 o'clock Sunday, you're on it, you're filling it out, you're submitting it to your pool, or are you a procrastinator? You wait until Thursday morning to get the thing in?
Yeah, I like to get it in like the last minute. I do that. Sometimes I'll give it to my daughters and just be like, hey, you know, pick, because they always like to pick like based on the color. And a lot of times them picking on the color does better than me picking on what I perceive to be knowledge of basketball. So I send a couple in.
And then one of the great debates in sports talk history, do you do one bracket or are you a multi-bracket guy?
It depends on the mood. You know, I'll never do more than 2. So I would say I'm more of a one bracket because I rarely do multiple ones.
I got to say, the bracket contest when I was a kid was one of the that I looked forward to the most. I played ESPN's Tournament Challenge every year, and I was the delusional kid that actually thought if I broke down the action enough, I could win the $1 million and have the perfect bracket. I think we all know now a perfect bracket is impossible, right? It's never, ever, ever. It's amazing to me that there are people that pick all 4 Final Four teams right.
Yeah.
Let alone pick every game of the NCAA tournament right. That's insane. That being said, because of that child in me, I want to only fill out one bracket. And then I have a rooting interest in just about every game, at least Thursday, Friday. I know I've got a rooting interest in every game of the NCAA tournament. 1 year, I did pull it off. It's one of my great claims to fame, TD. I pulled it off. I had a perfect first day of the NCAA tournament. I went 16-16 and picked every game correct. So I'm going to see, you know, this year if I could ever do that again. I feel like that's worth almost $1 million, let alone try to get the rest of them right.
Yeah, no, like you said, if you could get the Final Four right, like, you're doing something. I don't think I've ever done that. I haven't really seen too many people do that either. So sometimes, though, you just luck out, man. That's just the way it works.
One of the all-time – I had Syracuse and Carmelo Anthony, one of my great moments in tournament history. I had the Mateen Cleaves, Michigan – Hakeem Warrick, Jerry McNamara, if you need him.
He's coaching for them now, and so is Adrian Autry.
Oh, really? Okay, those are some names I know. Michigan State with Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete was one of my favorite college teams of all time. But I think the team that takes the cake for me, you know, I grew up, you know, West Denver, the Arizona team with Mike Bibby and Miles Simon. What that to me was an absolute all-time Lute Olson classic team.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that team. Temple with Eddie Jones and Aaron McKee.
Yes.
Was one I like to watch.
Yeah, but, with John Chaney getting in fights in the locker room.
He said, I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Oh, just I get excited just talking about it. The tournament is absolutely on the horizon in addition to all the NFL stuff. All right, Teron, incredible job of hosting a radio show and writing news stories for ESPN.com at the same time. It's always a pleasure.